Let us pray. Christ, you are all my righteousness. I stand complete in you and you alone. There's nothing more that I need to say. There's nothing more that I need to do. I just stand basking in your glory, your goodness, your faithfulness, your love, and your truth. And I let all of you permeate all of who I am so that when all is said and done, your life shines through me and expresses itself in all my words and actions. Let your word further refresh this truth in my heart and mind, and let me encounter you even as I sit and listen today. Father, I decrease so that you can increase and just share more of who you are with us today. I invite you to be all my righteousness today and always. In Jesus' name, amen. So today, I am not going to give you a lot of scriptures because I want the theme scriptures that we have to really remain at the forefront of your mind. I'm not going to go extremely deep into the scriptures because I really want to model for you how you can take simple steps to engage with and grow in your understanding of the word. I know sometimes when you listen to the teachers, you think, man, I'll never be able to go, you know, that deep. I'll never be able to learn. And as I was preparing, you know, I always like to really go in and try to find, you know, things that maybe you didn't know about and stuff. And I just said, you know, we got to just keep it simple. We have to make it so that every person can just look at the word and figure it out, you know, in some ways for themselves so that that way we can have, you know, strong dialogue around what is God really telling us? What is he really saying to us? And so if I don't model the way that you can start at like the lowest level to understand the word, then you'll never get it for yourself. And there's going to come a time potentially where we won't get to come together. And, you know, the reality is that in our everyday life, we don't always have somebody that can be there to help us out. And you have to be able to get into the word. You have to be able to pray. You have to be able to do it for yourself so that that way you can get the encouragement that you need when somebody is not there to help you. And so in my speaking today, that's what I wanted to model for you. Like if I didn't know a whole bunch, you know, if I didn't know how to go find, you know, all of these commentaries and things like that, how would I go about understanding what the word has to say? And so that's what we're going to do today. And so we just have a few scriptures that we're going to go with, and I'll tell you what the scriptures are. And I'm going to read the scriptures out of different versions. I wanted to read a lot more versions, but I'm just going to pull out a few that kind of stuck out to me. So our scripture for today is Psalms 37 and 21. And of course, everything, I'm going to read it out of our voice version first and then read it out of a different version. So Psalms 37 and 21, that is page 651. Philippians 3, 8 and 9, page 1446. So Philippians 3, 8 and 9, page 1446. Romans 6 and 13, page 1380. So again, Romans 6 and 13, page 1380. And then the last scripture is Acts 10, 34 and 35. And that's page 1343. So Acts 10, 34 and 35. Page 1343. I wanted to go into a whole bunch of the scriptures because the more I wrote, the more I was like, ooh, I got some good stuff. But I was like, no, we're going to stick with this. And so we'll start with Psalms 37 and 21. And I'm going to read all the scriptures first before I kind of summarize it and bring it together. So Psalms 37 and 21, page 651, in the voice version, it says, evil people borrow and never repay their debts, while the good give generously from their hearts. In the Amplified Classic Version, it says, the wicked borrow and pay not again, for they may be unable. But the uncompromisingly righteous deal kindly and give, for they are able. In the CEV, it says, an evil person borrows and never pays back, but a good person is generous and never stops giving. In the NET version, it says, evil men borrow, but do not repay their debt, but the godly show compassion and are generous. And so just so you know, when you hear those different things, you're thinking about righteousness. And as you hear the different versions, you can see what the different interpretations of the word righteous are just by reading the various versions in the Bible. I just did all of this from BibleGateway.com and just looked at the scripture in every version that they had available. So that's kind of how we're going to just go about this. It's like understanding this, the title for today, and I know I didn't say this, but the title for today is The Righteousness God Desires. And so we're continuing to talk about righteousness. And so I just want to pull out for you, what is righteousness about? And then further go deeper into what is the righteousness that God desires. So we're going to go to Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. And that's page 1446. In the Voice version, it says, "And more so, I now realize that all I gained and thought was important was nothing but yesterday's garbage compared to knowing the anointed Jesus, my Lord. For him, I have thrown everything aside. It's nothing but a pile of waste so that I may gain him." In verse 9, "When it counts, I want to be found belonging to him, not clinging to my own righteousness based on law, but actively relying on the faithfulness of the anointed one. This is true righteousness supplied by God, acquired by faith." In the Amplified Classic Version, it says, and I'm focusing on verse 9, "And that I may actually be found and known as in him, not having any self-achieved righteousness that can be called my own based on my obedience to the law's demands, ritualistic uprightness, and supposed right standing with God thus acquired, but possessing that genuine righteousness which comes through faith in Christ, the anointed one, the truly right standing with God, which comes from God by saving faith." In the Passion Translation, it says, "My passion is to be consumed with him and not cling to my own righteousness based in keeping the written law. My only righteousness will be his based on the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, the very righteousness that comes from God." Romans chapter 6 and verse 13 is in page 1380. It says, "Don't offer your bodily members to sin service as tools of wickedness. Instead, offer your body to God as those who are alive from the dead, and devote the parts of your body to God as tools for justice and goodness in this world." In the Amplified Version, it says, "Do not go on offering members of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but offer yourselves to God in a decisive act, as those alive and raised from the dead to a new life, and your members, all of your abilities sanctified, set apart as instruments of righteousness yielded to God." And our last scripture is Acts chapter 10, verse 34 and 35 on page 1343. It says, this is from Peter, "It is clear to me now that God plays no favorites, that God accepts every person, whatever his or her culture or ethnic background, that God welcomes all who revere him and do right." In the Passion Translation, it says, "It makes no difference what race of people one belongs to. If they show deep reverence for God and are committed to doing what's right, they are acceptable before him." The Amplified Classic says, "But in every nation, he who venerates and has a reverential fear for God, treating him with worshipful obedience and living uprightly, is accepted to him and sure of being received and welcomed by him." So bringing this all together, these scriptures highlight for us the righteousness that God desires by giving us key characteristics of a righteous person. First, we learn that anyone, no matter what their culture, background, race, gender, age, can be righteous in God's eyes. The only qualification is that they obey, they fear, they reverence, they worship and honor him. And when we use the word fear, we're not using fear in the terms of being scared. We're using fear and reverence almost as the same word. And so some may ask, well, how do I know if someone fits in this category? And the first thing that I would tell you is Someone else's righteousness or right standing with God is between that person and God. It's not your business. You have to be mindful of your own right standing and be careful not to become a judge of another. From there, what you can look at is how they act. What you can look at is how you act. Just so, because we have to be discerning. As I was thinking about that and writing that out, I was thinking there still is a place for discernment. You shouldn't be looking at other people trying to judge them and say, oh, well, you're going to heaven or you're going to hell. We don't know that. But you can look at somebody and say, based on these actions and different things that they're saying, I might need to be a little more mindful about how I interact or how I speak, because, you know, you want to do your best to present yourself, you know, like Paul said, I'm be all things to all men so that you might win some. So you want to be aware of where somebody is so that when you speak to them, you can hopefully speak to them in a place that they can understand. But you shouldn't be trying to, you know, judge people and say, oh, well, I know where you're going, and try to force people into accepting your way of believing. And that's not what we're here to do, you know. So what you can do is look at yourself, number one. And then I also want to say that when I say righteousness, another way of looking at righteousness is also right standing. I think if we think about it in the perspective of, am I in right standing, instead of using like this word like righteousness, you're like, oh, that word seems scary. But when you say, am I in right standing with God? Then that helps you to understand a little better, you know, what we're talking about. But when you're concerned about where you stand, then you can further just let the love of God come out of you. And then you can be thinking about where somebody else stands, not from, again, from a judging place, but from a place of like, how can I get in and partner with this person? How can I take this journey of life with them to help them move along in their growth? But you can look at, you know, how somebody acts. Our behaviors are clues to what is in our heart, clues to the things that are important to us, clues to the way we think and feel. The righteous in God's eyes are those who work righteousness, those who do right, those who act uprightly, those who do good deeds, practice righteousness. And when I saw this word, like in one of the versions, it was talking about practicing righteousness. And when I saw that, I was like, that's a very interesting way. Am I practicing righteousness? Am I practicing goodness, kindness, mercy, compassion, generosity, grace? Am I practicing all these things? I thought to myself, you know, we must realize that we are all in training. Sometimes people say practice makes perfect, but I think I've heard it said also that practice makes better. And as Christians who stand right, you know, stand in right standing before God, you know, because of the work that Christ has done on the cross, we should have a mentality of practicing. Every day we wake up, we should thank God for our lives and then use that life to practice goodness, to practice love every chance we get. Righteousness is about using all of our faculties, all of our mind, all of our gifts and talents, all of our skills, all of our heart to serve God and others. If every day you do this, if every day you practice this, then you can be settled in knowing that God sees your work and he sees your labors of love and he accepts that. It is so important for us to be careful not to tie our right standing with God to legalism. Legalism, according to the dictionary, is excessive adherence to law and formula, depending on moral rather than on personal religious faith. And what that means is that the righteousness that God desires is based in faith and not in works. God wants you to live by the Spirit, following the laws that he has written in your heart, and not getting so caught up in rituals that you or other people have made, that you forget about the law of love, that you forget about the law of liberty, that are the foundation of the Christian faith. Sometimes it seems easier to just have a bunch of rules, you know, that we can follow. But if we're all honest with ourselves, the more rules there are, the harder it is to follow and keep those rules. So with righteousness comes freedom, because God knew that we wouldn't be able to abide by all the rules that would keep us in right standing with him. Think about the children of Israel and all the rules that they had back in the Old Testament. He knew when he put those rules out there that they weren't going to be able to abide by them. And so what he did was put them there so that way they could see their need for Christ, so that they could see where they really stood, that they couldn't do it on their own. And nowadays, you know, sometimes in certain church environments, that's exactly what you get. Somebody putting a bunch of rules out there and telling you, you can't wear this, you can't wear that, you can't do this kind of activity, you can't do that kind of activity, just giving you all kinds of rules that they just came up because this is what they think God wants. But is that really the righteousness that God desires? What is that righteousness? And God's desire, what did he say in his word? He said, you know, he wants a pure and a contrite heart. That is it. He doesn't despise that. That's all he wants. He doesn't want he doesn't even really want your works. Your works are just an outward display of what's really going on inside. He wants that heart. And if he can get that heart, then everything else will be transformed. And so again, people sometimes can look like they're being Christians. They can look like they're in right standing. They can look like they're righteous, but their heart is far from God. We want the opposite. As Free Spirit Worship Church members, we want the opposite. We want your heart. You may be a mess on the outside. Your life may be in shambles and everything else. You may not be doing what we think is right. But if your heart is in that place, you know, that is seeking after God, if your heart is in that place, that's in that spirit of practicing, then that's all we're looking for. That's all that God wants. So, with righteousness comes freedom, because God knew that we wouldn't be able to abide by all the rules that would keep us in right standing with him. So being the merciful, gracious, and loving God that he is, he let us off the hook and just told us to have faith and honor him to the best of our ability by showing grace, mercy, love, and all those other God-like qualities to others. And if we can do that, then he's happy with us. If we are just trying, sometimes we lose sight of that, just trying. If you are just trying to live right, if you are just trying to do good, if you are just trying to love, if you are trying, then he's happy with us. I think from time to time, we have to really check ourselves and ask ourselves, why are we doing what we're doing when it comes to God? I think that if we do this check, we may realize that sometimes our actions are based in fear. We're afraid that God will leave us or throw us in the pit of hell because we got one thing wrong, because we didn't keep all the commandments. But I hope that I can free you today and help you realize that it's not about the commandments. And God isn't sitting around trying to find ways to punish us. You know, what did he say in his word? He will never leave us nor forsake us. I mean, he said he loved us. It says in the word that perfect love casts out all fear. You know, so if we go by what his word actually says, then we'll be able to connect it and see that if we stop living out of fear, if we stop living thinking that we're going to be punished every turn, then we can live in this space of freedom that will begin to really not only transform our lives, but transform the world around us. We have to realize that God is love, and his interest is in seeing his character grow in us and radiate out of us to the world around us so he can see transformation in the world. We are his body, and he just wants his body to do what it was created to do, to spread love, to spread Eden everywhere, honoring him. Love, freedom, serving. This should be your primary concern as one who already stands upright before God. You already stand upright. You are already in right standing with God. Like the song says, he is all my righteousness. I stand complete in him. He is your righteousness. So remember that you stand complete, already finished in him. So live like someone who is complete. Live like someone who is finished and living in right standing with God. This and only this is the righteousness that God desires. It's not about our actions. It's not about, you know, any of those things. It's about that heart that is desirous to have God. And if you can just keep living by faith, you know, when you can keep just saying, God, I trust you. I may not be getting it right, but I trust you. I trust in the work that Jesus already did on the cross for me, that when he died for me, he you know, and at the point where I accepted that sacrifice that he made, I was clean for all eternity, for all time. I was clean. And so because I'm clean, I am going to continue to operate out of that space of freedom, operate out of that space of fullness, operate out of that space of love. I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. I am going to live trusting you. And as I live trusting you, you will make sure that I do the right things, that I say the right things. And even if I do mess up, that's what grace is for. That's what mercy is for. And you are a gracious, a loving, a merciful God. And so I can just stand in that and realize that you already see me as complete. You already see me as done. And all I have to do is accept that revelation and begin to live my life from that space of revelation. That is the righteousness that God desires. You can look at these scriptures and read them to yourself over and over and over again and recognize that it's about goodness. You know, it's about serving others. It's about kindness. It's about compassion. And every time you look at your life and that's what's flowing out of you, then you should say, you know what? I think I'm doing pretty good. And I know God loves me. And all I'm going to do is every day wake up and I'm going to practice so that I can be better. Not so I can be the best. Not so I can be perfect. I'm going to practice so that I can be better tomorrow than I was today. And sometimes for some people, being better tomorrow is difficult. I'm going to practice so that I can be better next week or be better next month. You know, give yourself a bigger space, you know, because if you try to think about tomorrow, you might try to do all these things to get to a better space by tomorrow. But the reality is that change takes time. No matter how much we may want things to happen immediately, the reality is it just doesn't work. You know, sometimes they say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Some of us have been in this for a very long time. And so trying to teach us new tricks is going to be a little harder. But I do believe you can teach an old dog new tricks. It just takes a lot of work, a lot of time, and then you'll see that new trick come out. So look at yourself like that and have grace for yourself. And I speak to myself as well. I need to have grace for myself, you know, as I practice, you know, being who God wants me to be. So I hope you have learned a little bit more to think about what it really means to be righteous and be in right standing with God and what he desires from you. Because I think after reading this scripture, maybe even my own mind has shifted to say, God isn't looking for me to be perfect. He's looking for me to just have a heart that desires him and have a heart that's going to allow him to flow through me. And that's just it. Freedom. There's a law of freedom. There's a law of liberty. There's a law of love. And as long as I'm abiding by that law, everything else will come together. And so with that, let's pray. Father, we just thank you right now because you are our righteousness. We thank you because with the work that Jesus did on the cross, we do stand complete. We are finished in your eyes. And help us today to even have that revelation that we are finished, that we are complete in your eyes. And so you're not trying to punish us. You're not trying to make life hard for us. You just want us to be who you already know we are. So Lord, give us that revelation today. Give us the revelation of who we really are in Christ, who we really are in you. And Lord, we just thank you for the work that you've done for us, for us being able to even be here today to really learn about what it means to be righteous before God, to understand what righteousness is all about, not just from today's message, but from what we've heard over the last 4 weeks or so. Father, we just want to have our hearts be after your heart. We just want to love you completely and let your love permeate us so that it can permeate those are the lives of those around us, so it can permeate and transform the world around us. And we leave all that to your care, God. All we're going to do is focus on being good, being compassionate, being kind, being loving, and everything else will work out. And so, Lord, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for this message. Let it just hold strong in our hearts and remind us when we forget, let this word come back to us to remind us of who we are and what we are capable of in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.